Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, wherever you may be. Happy Saturday to you all. I hope you guys are all doing well, and I hope that you guys are all making the most of your weekend, as I said you should. Hope you guys are enjoying the weekend, whatever you're doing. It's been a busy day already this morning. I woke up this morning, and I felt the need to get some exercise in, which I did, and I feel very good about that. And then, you know, I was reminded of the old days when you used to play parking lot, or street ball or street hockey or whatever. And you'd actually play in the street when you'd have to, yell car or whatever. These are things I don't know if people do anymore, but I had that encounter this morning and had to encounter my basketball going over the neighbor's fence for the first time. And like, since I was like 5 or 10. In our new neighborhood. So it was very interesting. I got my basketball back, by the way, and I had posted a lot of that on social media. So you guys can check that out later if you want. But anywho, as I got to get ready to get my basketball skills back to where they should be, as I got some big events coming up next year, as most people know about. We'll talk about that later. Not today, but later and a little bit further out. But first of all, I wanted to talk about where we're live from. Today we're lucky enough, and this is something I've been wanting to do for a little while. For those people who may not be aware, I am a huge geek, I guess you say, considering I've talked about comic books and movies and television and whatnot and everything else I talk about, wrestling or whatever. I am a bit of what they consider a geek, I guess. Any shame in wanting to read or wanting to learn something. In a place that I always found to be, somewhat of a solitude, kind of a place, somewhere where I can go and, enjoy learning and being peaceful and kind of just wanting to go away, get away and work on writing or escaping with a good book is obviously the public library. And I had aunts and stuff like that who introduced me to libraries at a young age, and I always had a really good rapport with the libraries when I was younger. My aunt used to take me to, they'd have really events growing up where I'm from in the city. They'd have, events at the library, which was really nice. They'd have like movie nights. And now I talk about movies. We're talking about the 80s. DVDs didn't exist yet. VCRs did exist. They were few and far between. But what the library did is they had like the old 35mm reels. So you actually got to watch an actual film reel when you went to the movies at the library. And I remember watching the Star Wars films, the way they were shown in the theaters kind of a thing. But it was at the library. I always thought that was kind of cool. And spoiler alert, I liked the Star Wars, franchise and stuff, at least back then, as that's what I grew up with. And they had a lot of other kinds of events. And actually, for those people who don't know, I do a little dabbling into the art kind of world. I do a lot of painting, a lot of pastel work. And I'm not saying I'm good or anything. In fact, I would say I'm closer compared to probably what abstract art is, probably. So I do a lot of that kind of work. And it was at the library. I entered my very first art competition or art show. And I always thought it was kind of cool to see my art display amongst other artists. And I was like 8 years, or I was like 7 or 8 years old seeing my, I had gotten this big poster board and I'd done this elaborate scene from Castle Island, which was down the street from my aunt and uncle's house, which is a historical landmark from where I'm from. And I did this elaborate scene of Castle Island, people walking dog. Of course, remember, I'm 7 or 8, so it was probably nowhere near the detail of where other people were at that particular time. But it was really cool. It was really cool to see my artwork among all these people who had these elaborate paintings and far more talented than I was at 8. I'm not going to lie, they're probably still far more talented than I am even now, as that's more of a hobby more so than something that I do and pursue. I have other talents that I endow upon. So, And then also used to like the book fairs used to have, or book sales, because, you know, go figure. I like to learn. I like to read. I like to get a lot of books on. Back then, we used to get the National Geographic magazines that would be kind of outdated from the library, but we'd buy those, and I'd learn about various animals and places. And like I said, I like to learn. I don't think there's any harm in that. And in fact, I said, though, I think several times on this show, you never stop learning. So it's always important to kind of hold on to that. There's nothing wrong with learning and adding to your resume of life, so to speak, as I've said before, and adding another wrinkle in the brain, so to speak. So there's that too. So what I want to do first is shout out the public library where I'm from. I'm currently airing from the Pawtucket Public Library, which is not far from where I live. And it's something I've been talking with the library about. And this is something that was very important to me, that I wanted to show that libraries can be fun and cool. And I think the sad part is, I think a lot of people are more comfortable with the digital age, where we can just get a book on our tablets and phones and computers and stuff. And the libraries themselves don't see as much traffic as they used to be. So they have events, and these things go unfounded because a lot of people don't know, like they don't really put, like the things I mentioned growing up, they still do these types of things. And I'm going to share with you some of the things they do in particular at this library itself. And you can hear that the various things you can actually do in a library is, you know, a lot of people think you go to a library, you got to be quiet, and you got to, you know, this, it's a, and yeah, for the most part, you should be respectful of other readers and other people who just want to, you know, be left alone and, you know, write, work on things, study, or whatever the case may be. But they have other events going on. There's other things you can do. You can socialize with people who are into the same kinds of things. And like, for example, I'm going to read you some of the things they're doing. They have, so this is particular with this library, which is the Pawtucket Public Library. And these are free events. Free, mind you, people. You don't have to spend money to do these things. In a decade where everyone's trying to save money and everything's, you know, expensive and skyrocketing, just going to your public library, and I'm sure these kinds of things are available at your own library, so these are things you should look into. If any of these things sound particularly interesting to you, look at your own library and see if there's something similar to this that they own offer. Maybe they offer more. Who knows? But this particular one, I'm going to read you some of the things. So first of all, they have adult programs. The adults take over the library, I guess, at 2 p.m. That's in a place called the Teen Center, which is located in the library. The library is huge down here, by the way. And then they have a movie night at the Campbell Auditorium, which is, I guess, here. I guess they have various movies and stuff like that they have listed on the website. And then I guess they're making a monthly Let's Make a Watercolor tutorial. So they're going to give people, well, this is actually kind of cool. They're going to give people a lesson on how to do watercolor painting from the 4th and the 5th on a Tuesday. The 4th and 5th Tuesday of every month, they're going to be doing oil. They're going to be teaching people how to use watercolor paintings and stuff. That's kind of cool because I myself like to use acrylic paint. That's usually what I use for painting, but that's a great deal. And that's from ages 16 plus. Again, they're geared towards the adults part of the thing. And then get this 3D printing workshop from Rhode Island Library Computer Museum. That sounds exciting. Apparently you can learn how to create and print out an object in 3D, attend a workshop, and sign up to have your object printed out by the librarian. You know, I'm not going to lie, that sounds kind of awesome. Imagine having a 3D version of yourself, and they're going to teach you how to do this. And in a day where, in an era where computers, knowledge is really good for everybody to have, because pretty much everywhere you go, everything you look at, as much as you want to avoid it, at some point you're going to have to interact with technology, and you're going to have to interact with the computer somewhere. And I think one of the things that are good about libraries is they are a source of knowledge, and they have classes, which I'll get into some of those. They have some of those as well. And I'm going to read you guys some of the things that, I think are good to have. But what's awesome here is that they're going to, you can actually learn how to use computers, and imagine learning how to print something out in 3D, and then you have that knowledge, and you can do, maybe do that yourself if you have the means or whatever. I think that sounds awesome. I might want to talk to them about that myself, having a 3D version of me. Where do they get a load of me? Anyway, apparently they're going to have Halloween-themed events are also coming in October. Of course, that's Halloween in most places. Most people embrace that. Some places don't, whatever. Here they do, and I think that's awesome. I'm not overly fond of October, for those people who know, and I'll go into that later in this month. For now, you know, October's far enough right now. I'm not going to worry about it, but they're going to have Halloween-themed events. And I always find that the best way for me to deal with October is to distract myself with events and activities. So there you go. And apparently they're going to have a voter, answering question session for local politicians who are running for office in November that are local. I think that's important also, that you can interact with people and ask questions and things, and they do that. And apparently they have a book, they have several book clubs here. They have Storied Lives book club that's here, apparently. American Dirt, apparently, is what they're going to be talking about, by Gene Cummings. And that's on Wednesday the 28th here. That sounds kind of interesting. And they're going to have, they have other events obviously as well. Now they also have for teens. It's not just for adults, and you know, kids can come down here too, and there's no shame in that, because listen to this. Gamers Club on Wednesday at 4:30 in the teen center, in a world where everyone plays a video game for the most part. For the most part, everyone has interacted and played a game here and there. We talk about the importance of libraries. When my son and I were doing Dream Masters and Dream Matches, we actually did a library tour. Maybe people don't know or don't remember that, because I did that before I did this podcast. You probably didn't. But when we were, you know, doing Dream Matches and Dream Masters, we decided maybe it would be a good idea to do one of these shows live, or a couple of these shows live. So what they would do is we would go to the library where I'm from. Excuse me, we have several libraries all over the area where I'm from and various other libraries. And, you know, we had a table kind of out front, and we had our, you know, DVDs on like a three, kind of like a, it wasn't a DVD player, but it was projected onto the wall so everyone could see it like a regular film. And then basically what we would do is do what we do on our show, but we do it live at the library. So we'd have the matches on the screen that everyone would watch, and we would do the commentary. Everyone would have a fun time. It would be laughing and whatever. And we did several of those tours, and those were good. And maybe that's something I can bring to this library as well. Maybe that sounds like something perhaps during the video game club they might be enjoying. Because, I mean, granted, we don't play the video games, but it is video game-based. So, you know, that's something here. But, I mean, where everyone plays video games. Imagine having a video game club. I mean, that's kind of cool. And then they have a teen advisory board, apparently, that meets on the 3rd and of Wednesdays here. I actually pulled up a flyer. I'm going to read you guys that in a bit about this teen advisory board. That sounds kind of cool. It's always good to kind of interact with fellow teens and your peers when you're younger. Sometimes you don't feel like you're heard, and sometimes you feel like you want to make a difference, and sometimes you feel like sometimes, you know, whatever. And I think that's a great idea to have that. And, of course, they have teen movie night on September 29th. Apparently, they're gonna vote online either the Minions or Rise of the Galaxy. Sorry, Minions, Rise of Gru, or Guardians of the Galaxy 2. If I was to guess, and if it's teens, my film experience tells me they're probably going to go with Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Just because that's where teens would go. If it's more of a younger audience, I could see them getting Rise of the Gru. Of course, being voiced by Massachusetts' own Steve Carell. Some people might not know that, but there you go. Some fun tribute in NASCAR. And here's the flyer for the movie event night, and they tell a little bit about what each of them are about. Voting is going to end by September 15th. And again, this movie is going to take place on the 29th here at the library at 5:30 apparently, and actually not too far from where I'm in a little private room, which is really awesome. Again, libraries have so much to offer if you just go down and look. They have little private rooms here that they were nice enough to set me up in, and they know that I'm doing this, and they're very excited about it. And I'm excited to do it from here as well, and I hope to do more of them from here. It has free Wi-Fi, most libraries, and, you know, again, I'm in a room, the door's closed, you know, peace and quiet, and you get to, you know, hear my delightfulness. And if I ever do a show where I'm going to have a guest on, I can easily just have them here with my microphone, and there you go, rock and roll. But then, yeah, so by the way, the voting for this movie thing here is going to end by the 15th so they can prepare for the film, so people know on that. And I mentioned the computer classes here. You can take in-person computer classes for adults. They can learn basics, intermittent, and advanced levels. They can learn all kinds of things, and classes come in English or Spanish, Portuguese. So there you go. Get some, you know, so you don't have to feel awkward if you don't speak English or Espanol or whatever the case may be. They have those classes available in a couple different languages here. Also, Creole as well, which is kind of cool. Creole is always good. Creole is like a French, actually, but there's, you know, different dialects and stuff like that. But, you know, doesn't hurt to have. Also, and that's on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 to 2 here. And that lasts from September 27th to December 15th. Participants will earn North Star certificates. So you get some type of certificate saying you're good at computers, which is good. You get to preview and prepare for Microsoft Office specialist certification program. And use technology in life. You know, that doesn't sound like a bad deal. I actually like that. If you need information about that, you can contact Betty here on that. And that's her phone number is area code 401-426-3517. Again, her name is Betty. She runs these computer classes. It sounds like it's a great deal for those people who are just learning. And her number is area code 401-426-3517. Again, 401-426-3517. If you're someone who wants to reach her by email, she says you can reach her at B, lowercase b, all lowercase by letters, by the way, BTAZARES at provlib.org. So that, again, that's BTAZERES at provlib at, and that's at .org. Obviously. So one more time for the email is BAZ as in Victor, ARES at provlib.org. That's the library, by the way. That's for Providence Library, I believe. So people know. All right. So what else we got here? And then I mentioned the Teen Advisory Board. So I haven't even had a chance to glance at this yet. So I'm just going to read it out loud to you guys. So it looks like a new Teen Advisory Board, and they want you to join them Wednesday, September 21st for the fourth meeting. Who are they looking for? Pawtucket teens looking for volunteer hours, leadership opportunities, ways to engage with the library, new friends, and more. Where and when? The third Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. beginning September 21st at the Teen Center, which is in the library, which is adjacent from where I am right now. And why? To engage you with your community, make new friends, influence library purchases and programming, to eat some snacks and add some activities to your college or work resume. And also, and how? By filling out the Google form linked in the event calendar. The registration is on our website, and we're signing up in person at the Teen Center. So that's down here at the library. So there's ways you can do it. There's all kinds of different ways, and you can be part of the teen advisory board. In all honesty, things like this are good on a resume because it shows that people can be productive, and it show. And when I look at, you know, when people come on audition for films or they come and whatever, you want someone who knows more than just what they have. And when I look at someone, I see that they can do multiple things versus just, you know, sing, act, and dance. Because let me tell you, when you're auditioning, the thing about it is several people can act, right? Everyone can read from a script. It's all about the personality of the person who's reading the script, how they perceive the script, and how they perform. So I always look at a headshot, because that's what they call them, right? They give you a headshot, and they tell you a little bit about the person. And when I look at what they can do, and I also like to, I kind of treat it like a little interview, but I also like to see what else they can do outside of whatever that is. So it's always good to do that. And if I see that they can have these other skills, or they're in some type of thing where they are on some type of committee board like this, that they take initiative, that they have pride in their city and their town, and that they're social, then those are the people who I'm more likely to cast, because that's kind of how I run my sets. So there's that. Now I got this other form here. I don't know if this is for the, I guess this is this for the library? Oh, this is for the Slater Park itself, Recreation Department, which we're going to talk about that in a few, too. I have some really cool stuff to talk about that. Apparently, the Parks and Slater office at the Slater Mill that I was at the other day, I'll talk to you guys about that in a few. But apparently, you can register for classes and become part of the Pawtucket Advisory Boards. That's kind of sounds kind of cool. You can actually learn about the history and whatnot. Huh. So that I'm just reading it out because again, I haven't looked at a lot of this stuff. But this is basically programs that the Parks and Recreations Department is putting together, and you can find out more about these things on their website at PawtucketRI.com. And apparently these are some of the events in the fall that are coming up, wellness programs they call them. Looks like they have a program for low aerobics, so if people want to get healthy, they can do some aerobics and stuff, some cardio and stuff, get the heart pumping, which is never a bad thing. They're going to be doing some yoga on Mondays. Dance cardio blast, which isn't bad either. Total body fit. So you can learn how to do strength training and cardio is involved with that. It has little prices next to each other as well, just so people know. And also limits on how many. It looks like they only have a class limit of 20 people. So if any of these things are interesting to you guys, you probably want to, you know, get in on this and cheap money. They have a dance mix on Wednesdays, which sounds interesting. For residents, only $48, and you can learn how to dance and get noticed on the dance floor. For those people who want to learn how to dance, so your TikTok videos can be a little bit more entertaining. You look like you know what you're doing. For those people on TikTok who try to do your dances or on whatever social media you have, maybe not be a bad idea to take a class, freshen yourself up. They have a dance cardio blast, because a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, dance is a form of exercise. You're constantly moving and moving your joints and so forth. So, of course, dance can be considered exercise. Some people use various different ways to in dances to exercise. Tai Chi is a martial art that is based upon movement and the flow of rhythmic movements and so forth. So there's that as well. And they're doing a thing where you can learn how to dance and burn calories and stuff. And you know what? Dancing to music and burning calories, you forget that you're actually exercising if you do it good enough. And dance aerobics is the same thing. And then they got yoga apparently on Thursday. So, hey, something to do. And then for kids, they have like a gymnastics program, looks like, in multiple different levels. Level one goes 4 to 6, and level two is 7 to 17. For people who want to learn how to do gymnastics, doesn't hurt to learn how to be flexible and do the flips. I know a lot of people I know do a lot of types of physical activities, so doesn't hurt to freshen up. So there you go. There's all kinds of things you can do at the library and your community. Always doesn't hurt to go look around and, you know, and the information I just gave you is actually at the library. So anything going on in the town will usually be there. So definitely take advantage of your local library to get all your information, what's going on in the city, the town, and whatnot. And if they don't know the answer to any of your questions you ever ask them, they can certainly show you where you can go to get those answers. Something there, too, to think about. So yeah, we're excited to have this live show from the library. I've been wanting to do this all week, but unfortunately, this is my first opportunity to get down here because life has been getting busy. So let's get into that a little bit. What I've been doing since Tuesday, which was our last show, and I want to also do a programming note. I said on Tuesday I was going to show you out on Thursday. I was going to play you guys some audio from a video I had made prior to AEW Pro Wrestling coming, the company AEW on television coming and airing. And I do have that video. I do have that I am going to be doing that episode. I am currently in the process of getting that footage and then getting the audio from that so I can share that with you guys here on the podcast. I'm a one-man show here, so I'm kind of getting that together. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the audio from that show, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to break that into segments for you guys so we can find out just how much I know or don't know about wrestling, because I think what's funny is I actually went back and watched the video to see where I needed to break it up for the event, because I did attempt to do this for Thursday. Just life kept me busy. And when I realized that, you know, I could, you know, a lot of the things I said exactly came through, and everything I said they shouldn't do, they did. And the results of those things are exactly what happened. go figure. Wouldn't you know who won the pony said one of my favorite people, who is probably one of the only honest people left in pro wrestling, won Jim Cornette. Yeah, I don't care what anybody says. The guy knows what he's talking about. Stop trying to belittle him and be ignorant to the fact that the writing's on the wall, people. And stop trying to be ignorant and stop being blind to it. It's just more apparent now, more so. And, you know, he's nicer than I am. He won't sit there and tell you what he told you so. But then again, he might. But I'll tell you what I told you so. And, you know, people who have been around the wrestling business for a little while and who have done things in pro wrestling kind of have a general idea of how these things go. And people who have never wrestled before and never stepped into a ring but have plenty of things to say and write about it, these are the people who shouldn't be allowed to offer any kind of opinions on how it's run, who does what, and they definitely shouldn't be giving some type of a star rating like it's some type of film, because that's not what wrestling is. And any wrestlers who are looking for stars part of their wrestling thing, then you need to go into Broadway or go make films, because that's where stars are relevant. Pro wrestling was never built around a star system. The whole system was not invented by the person who uses it, by the way. It was minted as a joke between two people, and another person took it to be serious. What's sad is so many people who aren't smart to the wrestling business put so much stock into what that person writes about in those stars. Wrestlers themselves want those stars. Because I'm going to tell you, usually it's like the younger demographic that are into that, and the younger stars, the younger up-and-coming wrestlers are looking for those. The older people who have been around the block a few times could care less what kind of star rating that this guy gives them, because he has never stepped into a wrestling ring. He has never booked a wrestling show, but he has plenty of things to say how they should do it. you know, people are familiar probably with the National Enquirer magazine or the old news magazine thing you used to see. We call them dirt sheets in wrestling, but they're also dirt sheets in Hollywood. A lot of people, you know, when they see a headline in the National Enquirer back in the day, because that was one of the most famous magazines, were known to like put like bogus stories out there and make it embellished or whatever. And that's kind of what these people do. And they have the same kind of merit and they should be taken serious in the same manner. I think most people, even growing up, I would see a headline in some in newspaper called the News Headlines. And they'd be like, you know, woman gives birth to a whale baby or some ridiculous, outlandish story that is way out in left field. You know, it can't be real. Anyone with some common sense can tell you that there's no truth to these things. But yet so many people were addicted to that kind of entertainment. And that's what it was looked at as, entertainment, not a news or actual to be taken seriously. Because clearly there's no such thing as, you know, a three-headed donkey boy or some ridiculous other thing that people would say about, you know. And, you know, clearly if there were aliens out there, we probably would have seen them a few times by now, right? And as I said before, I'm currently on a mission to debunk all of those supposed ghost findings and all those supposed ghost experts on TV who are full of nothing more than whatever they're written for the episode, and have as much credibility as Steven Spielberg does making Poltergeist or James Wan. But all honesty, James Wan has a better production crew. Maybe these television shows who do these ghost investigations should hire James Wan to direct their documentary shows, supposedly. Because maybe then he would be considered relevant, and maybe then they would be taken seriously. This would be more entertaining, right? Because to me, that's all I see when I see those things, all honesty. that's kind of all I see when I see those. I don't see them as relevant. I don't see them as anything pertinent. My family has actually suffered because of these shows, so now it's my mission to undo all of the damage that they have done. So there's that. Now, that's kind of that part. But I want to talk to you guys about something cool that kind of happened. Also a little bit of an inspirational thing too. So Thursday night, so people know, I had my eye appointment on Thursday. First eye exam since before 2020. So I got my eyes checked finally. After several months of waiting for my eye appointment, I finally got to get my eyes done. And I'm currently waiting for my prescription and my contacts to come in. So if those people don't know, I do prefer contacts over glasses. I talked about that before, but I'm currently doing that. And then after that, I'm going to be seeing the dentist as my next juncture and get these two missing teeth that happened in a wrestling ring. At least that's a fun story. but I'm going to get those taken care of next so I can actually smile more and, you know, feel comfortable doing so. And that's not because of anyone, how everyone else makes me feel. It's about how I feel myself. Because I don't allow other people to dictate how I feel. Or I don't really take the, you know, if someone says, you know, I don't really like how you dress or whatever, I don't really take that to merit, because I could care less what everyone else thinks I dress or how everyone else feels, what everyone else thinks I should do. I do my own thing. I wear my clothes that fit. I wear clothes that I feel are comfortable. I don't see any need of spending ridiculous amount of money on clothes, considering, I mean, I'm rough with my clothes anyway. I'm always walking around, running around, and clothes are just material things in the end of the day. So to me, spending big money on a pair of jeans is ridiculous to me, especially when, like, you buy them with already rips in them. I've in big money for those jeans that have rips in them. I kid you not, but they do sell them, and I don't understand why you would pay over $100 for a pair of jeans that are ripped when you can just get a pair of jeans and do the same thing, just wear them, you know, kind of where they came from. So, but that's just me. I'm not a fashion guy. Of course, my old co-host, Jojo the Model Sebastian, he definitely would disagree with me on that, and that's okay. He is a model, and that's what he knows that stuff, and good for him. And he's into that kind of stuff. He could probably talk to you more about what the fashion choices should be, and what you should and shouldn't be wearing, whatever. You know, I should have done that with him. And at some point, we maybe do that. You know, I did tell Jojo that what next time that he's in the area that we may have to do this, we're going to do this live. I could actually bring him to this library, and we could do that here together because we're kind of secluded here and just got to bring another chair, but we should be good to go. Might be worth something to think about. Anywho, I want to tell you guys about a story that the other night. Like I said, so Thursday I had to get my eyes done, and I... And it's been a little while since I've had my eyes checked, as I said. Had to get them done, and I was actually due back in 2020. But as you know, nothing happened in 2020. Last year, I was busy kind of, you know, getting things together to get ready to move and everything else I was dealing with. So I wasn't able to do so last year. And then finally, I made my appointment and finally got one yesterday and got to go. So Thursday. And so they dilated my eyes, which is when they put the eye drops in your eyes so they can look at them better. The good news is I have very healthy eyes. It's just I'm very blind without glasses and contacts. I feel like that's like the opposite of, you know, you have healthy eyes. I feel like if you have healthy eyes, you would have perfect eyesight, right? I guess I'm wrong because I have healthy eyes. I'm just kind of blind still. But whatever. It is what it is. So, you know, I got my new prescription. I haven't picked it up yet. And I also got my contacts, and I'm going to be picking those up eventually as well. So that's kind of cool. But that night I went out for my nightly walk. I got home, obviously came home. And for those people who don't know, I always take it upon myself to go for a walk at least once a day, usually several, but I usually go for a walk at least once a day to have a good walk. You know, usually in the morning and then, or in the afternoon and then in the evening. A lot of the times come from when I'm writing a lot or when I'm working a lot. But this particular day, I had been, you know, running around like a chicken with my head cut off, going to the appointment and then all the other stuff. And the night before, I had to do some preparation for that. And then, so I didn't really have time to do it during the day. So I went for my nightly walk on Thursday night, and I go down to one of the local historical areas down the street from my house, the Slater Mill. And it's a beautiful area. I've taken pictures of it before on my social media, and it's a beautiful area. It's rich with history. In fact, I'm going to be reaching out to one of the rangers who I've met there, who I've become very friendly with. A lot of them are very friendly, very helpful. They'll know about the history and whatnot. And I'm actually in the process of both, you know, I'm going to talk to him about maybe becoming part of the team and giving back to the community, because I've always liked history. I always like to also educate people and educate them in the right ways. So I'm going to reach out to him to find out how one can do that. And also I'm going to maybe have him on this podcast to talk a little bit about the history of, you know, where I live and the Slater Mill itself and the, you know, the Slater himself and the history of the area, because these people are a wealth of knowledge as well. And you know, I think it's important to know the history of where we all come from. And a lot of people may not know that the Slater Mill is the very first successful cotton mill in the United States. It actually started the Industrial Revolution in the United States thanks to a British import from Britain, obviously. So I'm going to see about him coming in there. But anyway, I go down there because I didn't know anything was going on down there, but I will go down there because the beautiful, you know, just the scene is like the Black River, which is right behind the Slater Mill. Cause again, it's a cotton mill. They need water obviously to make it work. But right behind where the Slater Mill is that big river. It's a very pretty place. I do a writing down there. Honestly, it's very nice and peaceful. The water runs very nicely. It's a very rhythmic kind of an area. The birds, the animals, whatever, cool stuff. But I go down there, you know, rather than walk the other way, because the other way is just the city, and it's just buildings and people. And here's the thing: I don't mind people by any means. Fans, I definitely don't mind people. But, like, sometimes I just want to just enjoy nature, enjoy some peace and quiet. So I'll go down the other end, I figure, and enjoy the beautiful waterway and take some pictures down there because I think it's pretty and it's worth showing. Of course, when I get down there, the ranger friend who I know, who actually did the tour when I first came down here, I became very friendly with him. And I'm going to be trying to bring him on the show to talk about the history or whatever, but also just because I think it's important to do. But when I go down there, apparently they were having a film. They had gotten a bunch of film reels from like the 40s in the area, and they kind of had someone compile them together. Modern technology, folks. And it was all silent, most of them. And they had a gentleman who was playing music, accompany that in front. They had this big inflatable film screen, which I wish I had ever thought of that. That's kind of a great idea. But they had that going and, you know, all these other things. And he was telling me, you know, that they're doing this, you know, they're doing a film down there. And they do these events a lot down there. They have various different things, but it'll be concerts or things like this, a film thing. And next week, apparently, doing a film festival that I'm going to take part of. But when I get down there, he told me about that. And they have a contest. It's a caption contest. And I literally just walked into this thing. Don't know anything about this is even going on. But, of course, there's something festive going on. Of course, you know, being the Irish in me, I had to be part of it. Plus, at the end, I think it's okay to learn about a few things. There's nothing, no harm in learning about your environment where you live. And also, because of my film background, I also enjoy watching films and watching to see, again, people... When I watch films or television, it's not like everyone else who watches film and television. I don't watch film and television. I study film and television. I critique it in my own head, and that's kind of how my process is. That's anything, and that's always how it's been. But anyway, so they have a caption contest, which is a table, and they have a contest where they have five pictures. I guess they're stills from the movie. And basically, they, you know, a caption contest, you know, they have a picture and they have like a little empty word bubble. And you're supposed to come up with whatever you think that they're saying to each other, whatever they're thinking or whatever. And anyone who's on social media who's ever asked, you know, caption this or whatever, can always tell you that I always take that as a challenge. And I always enjoy trying to come up with something because I'm a writer, first of all. Second of all, I like to be entertaining. Plus, I like to take the opportunity to be creative and think outside the box. So if I see a picture, I could probably come up with a story. And so, of course, they have a caption contest, and it's, of course, you know, you can win a prize whenever you enter. There are five pictures, and you put your name in each of the five things, and if you win, you win. If not, eh. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to enter because I see this as a challenge. So I took the challenge on hand. Well, the movie's going on, and I'm looking at, you know, the people. Now, sadly, there wasn't a great deal of people there, probably maybe about half a dozen people or so. Good amount of people, and, you know, some people entered, so I wasn't the only one. But just, I know me, and I know my creativity, and I know the fact that, you know, it's not about being arrogant. It's not about being cocky, but it's all about believing your own ability and knowing yourself. And I know what I can do when it comes to captions, and I know the audience that I'm writing it for, so it's very easy for me to look around at the competition and whatever they're going to come up with, they're going to come up with something, who knows, but I know me personally, I can do something better, so that's what I did. And by the way, spoiler alert, I won. So the idea was when you win, you get your this, you know, a prize, which is which turned out to be this beautiful, like, little painting. A sketch kind of a painting thing of one of the local historical sites. It was very beautiful. But I'll be honest with you, I was actually going to give that to one of the other contestants who didn't win, one of the kids maybe, because for me it was more about the acknowledgement of the fact that I won and the fact that I know that I knew what I was going to win and I won. And it was more the acknowledgement of being recognized for my creativity. That was, to me, the win for me, not so much the drawing thing that I was presented with. And I'm also going to be featured on their website, I guess, which I haven't looked at yet, but I'm going to find it and post it. And the Rangers are so awesome down there. There were three of them, like my Ranger friend who I'm friends with. I consider him an acquaintance more right now. And then there's another gentleman who ran this contest. And then there was a young lady who was nice enough to take the pictures for us and stuff. So, you know, it's just, people don't give these people credit enough. Number one, they have to know all kinds of stuff about history. And then on top of that, they're going to deal with the public on a regular basis. Think about that one for a second. Those people who are annoyed with public for now. And, you know, people probably ask the same several questions over and over again. Coming from pro wrestling and coming from entertainment, someone who's done a lot of Q&As, I'm used to that. So I get it. But it does get kind of repetitive hearing the same questions and stories over and over again. Almost like you hope that someone will think outside the box. But, hey, someone's going to have something that will take something different. But these Rangers got to deal with a lot of that and the upkeep of the historical sites themselves. These people don't have easy jobs. And a lot of them, I don't really know if they get paid. I think a lot of it's volunteer. And that's something that should be respected as well. So there's that. But, when that article comes available, I'll post it to my social media so you guys can take a look. I did post the pictures already. And the moral of the story really is, just, I walked into a scenario where didn't know what was going on, but the opportunity was there, and I believed in my ability, and I believed that I could, so I entered. I saw the challenge, and I took it, and I won. The lesson there is, if you don't take those chances in life, those opportunities to present themselves to you, because everyone's presented those opportunities, it's up to you to take advantage of those opportunities. If you don't take advantage of those, then you have your own self to worry about. You own your own self to blame. But if you want to be successful at whatever it is you want to do, and you're afraid of taking those chances or thinking outside the box or you're shy or whatever, then you're probably not going to be able to take the full advantage of your whatever it is you want to do. Imagine being a film person or a theater actor and having stage fright. I'm going to tell you, believe it or not, when I was younger, when I was a little kid, I was very shy. Can you believe that? I was shy. I wouldn't talk to anybody. And here I am running a podcast that was a pro wrestler years later. And I'd have to stand in front of a wrestling ring and a wrestling audience and a singlet. Imagine that. But again, it's how we evolve as people. But it all comes from the opportunities that presented themselves and taking advantage of those opportunities. I knew there was a wrestling school not far from me, and I took the opportunity to go to that wrestling school. And I took that. And when I was in high school, my English teacher and the several different, literary things and stuff, they had writing contests that would enter. And my English teacher actually believed in a lot of my writing, and she even read my short story series I've been writing since I was 11, the Friendar series, which, by the way, I'm going to be bringing, I'll talk about that afterwards, but the Friendar series started when I was 11, and she was an avid reader of the Friendar series. Those short stories would come out once a month, and there was always something new and different. People would have to follow the antics of Jazz Vengeance, not me, Jazz Vengeance, the character Jazz Vengeance and the fabled F-World Gavel Justice Group and the family and whatnot. So, there's always something. But she was a big, she followed that and she liked a lot of the other works and she presented me with different writing assignments. I'm going to tell you that a lot of my book reports, a lot of my essays I wrote in high school, some of them were very controversial and some of them got me into some trouble. But the reason they got me in trouble was because of the subject matter. And it wasn't because I did it wrong. It wasn't because it was, full of profanity and I was rude or belligerent. It was because I actually did the research and did the studying behind the various different topics that I wrote about. And it got me into some trouble because, some of the things challenged what they were teaching people in school. For example, it was through in one of these essays and these stories that I wrote, there was a, not stories, it was an actual literary paper, it was a research paper I wrote, and it was about Christopher Columbus, the real story of Christopher Columbus. And it was, and I said then, just like I say now, I'm never going to celebrate Columbus Day ever again. Because if you actually, you know, do your research, I don't believe he should be honored. And I believe you, maybe we should change the name of that holiday, because I don't think, you know, we live in a decade where we're in cancel culture, but yet we still celebrate Columbus Day in the United States. I don't know why that bothers me as much as it does, probably because I did the research on it and did the report on it. And the older you get, you are more, you know, apt to learning these things. And with cancel culture being so sensitive, where they're canceling Bugs Bunny because he makes some off-color jokes, or canceling Miss Piggy because she is a tough woman, or they're trying to cancel Pepe Le Pew for being a harassment thing. I kid you not, these are real things, folks. We don't look at Columbus Day as a day we should cancel and change that to something else, because if you actually look at research of, one, what he actually did, and two, who he actually is, why he actually did what he did, then you'll quickly find out for yourself, and you'll question yourself, why are we celebrating this guy? I'm not going to bore you with those things right now, but I do encourage you guys to never be afraid to look into things. But I wrote these papers, and in articles like that, one got me in trouble. And of course, these reports I would write, I would also have to do them orally in front of the class. So of course, you know, this is why I got in trouble. And honestly, I actually had to carry a little, and I kid you not, I did this. I had to carry a little pocket-sized Declaration of Independence with me, with a Bill of Rights attached, that in little, it had a copy of the Constitution in there. And I used to have to actually have to use Article 2 of the Freedom of Press into those. Also Freedom of Speech too, but it was a Freedom of Press, the one that I used for a lot of those. And because I was emancipated at a young age, I actually had power to use that. And got me out of a lot of writing problems with that. So there's that. But, no, I'm not going to go to driving on that. But anyway, the idea is take those chances. My English teacher saw that she believed in my writing, that she entered my senior year of high school, she entered a short story I wrote called Never Letting Go into a writing contest, which is full of a bunch of adult writers, or writers from all over the United, all over Massachusetts, to be specific. And what it was is they were going to select a person from each town or city in Massachusetts to represent, you know, their town or city. And she didn't tell me at first, but I guess she had entered me with a poem, which I called Real Friends. And, of course, she entered Never Letting Go, which was a short story I wrote. It was out of nowhere. It was not any kind of dictation, wasn't an assignment. It was just something I wrote. It didn't have anything to do with the Friend R series. And she liked it that much, and she believed in it like that. She said, can I enter this into a writing competition? I said, good luck. I mean, I've never really thought of entering a writing competition at that point. I didn't even know those existed, really, senior year of high school. I just did a lot of my writing for extra assignments or extra credit, because I don't mind. You know, one, I like writing. Might as well get something for it. I like doing research, so there was that too. In all honesty, I didn't mind doing the oral reports either, which a lot of people are horrified of that. But to me, I got used to it, and also prepared me for wrestling. So there you go. In my senior year of high school, remember, I graduated. I started wrestling school 6 months before I graduated high school. And the skills I was learning in wrestling school, I was able to apply to a lot of my oral reports, because I know I was very thankful to Kowalski, because what he would do is at the end of each of my wrestling training sessions, he would have me cut a promo, which is talking on a microphone, on each of the other students. And the reason he did that is if I knew who the characters were, the wrestlers who themselves, some of them were heels and some of them were face. And he would tell me to cut a promo on them. So what would happen is I'd have to change my promos to fit the person I was cutting a promo on. So if they were a face, for example, I would have to cut a heel promo. If they were a heel, which is a bad guy, I would have to cut a face promo, a baby face promo. So that's kind of how that would work. And he had me do that at the end of every single class and everyone who was in the school. It wasn't just the other students. It was everyone in the school. So everyone from all the students, and then I work all my way up to my trainers, Slick Wagner Brown as well as Rachel Hunter and Kowalski himself. Sometimes he'd have special guests, former students come in. The two that I remember the most are Perry Saturn and John Cronus, who went on to go work for ECW they were the Eliminators. Rest in peace, John Cronus, by the way. And Perry Saturn, I saw him a few years ago at one of our trade shows. Actually, the year I got put into the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Perry Saturn has, had a lot going on, has had a lot of injuries and so forth. A lot of people are quick to, jump to the conclusion that he isn't with it, so to speak. But I'll tell you, when I was talking to him at that event, when I was talking to him about when he came to the school and told him about that, he actually remembered it. And I was surprised because I didn't, supposedly he doesn't remember a lot of that stuff, but he remembered these promos and this bit. Because him and John Cronus would have to come in. When they came in, I would have promos on any person there, including the guests. And, these guys are working for ECW at the time. But I'm also wondering, looking back, this is probably why I got hired by ECW right out of wrestling school first, because of my promo skills and because John Cronus and Perry Saturn probably put the words into Paul Heyman that, this guy's good on the mic. And I owe that training to Kowalski. So going back to wrestling school, though, is they would give me those skills on the mic. That probably would help me do my oral reports in front of the school when I have to do those. And I also did a lot of theater work as well prior to wrestling school and outside of martial arts and school and sports. I would actually also did my town had a little theater project so that they had like stage plays and stuff. I did several of those as well. So that helped. So I guess that comes in time. Also, just before I go forward, I had something I wanted to add. Some friends of mine they're acquaintances. They're on YouTube. They probably never hear this show, but that's okay. I'm going to tell them anyway. So Brock and Boston, who are also featured on our YouTube wrestling show, there are YouTube celebrities and social media. I get two twins who are all over social media, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, whatever, TikTok, Switch, whatever else, Instagram. They're really good kids. They're really hardworking and they have a good head on their shoulders, whatever. But Brock in Boston had asked, Boston in particular had asked, you guys have any tips for public speaking? Because I guess they're a little shy about it a little bit, talking in front of large groups of people. And this is a tip I have for people in general. This helped me, and this is something I particularly use. So this is a little tip that I guess I have to go into. I think I've given it before, but I'm going to say it again. For people who are going to be doing public speaking or doing somewhere where you're going to be talking in front of a group of people, or you're going to be doing some type of theatric thing, go for a walk a few times, a very simple walk. And while you're walking, work out the whole promo or work out whatever you're going to say while you're walking out loud. You can either I don't know how listening to music would really help, but if you want to listen to music, you can. But I would suggest just going for a simple walk, because the idea is you're going to be
talking your promo or doing your speech while you're walking, and then work out what you think, how you think it would be go. So you can hear how it sounds. So when it comes time to speak in front of the audience, in front of the people, you feel more confident, you feel more secure, you already know what you're going to say, you already have the experience ready. That is a system I've been using since theater. I use it in wrestling school when I was trying to work on promos, and I still use it to this day when I do my public speaking on anti-bullying and stuff. And so just try that. For anybody who needs help with public speaking or speaking in front of a class or speaking in front of people, if you know you're going to be speaking in front of other people, when you're walking around, just when you walk, take a simple walk and work the promo out, work the talk out in front of, you know, out loud. So when it comes time for it, it sounds natural and you're good to go. That's a tip for those people who need help with that. And by the way, you can feel self-conscious because remember, you're talking out loud. It's not in your head. So if you're walking down the street, for example, you might feel a little self-conscious that other people who are either driving by or walking by hear you talking out loud. So you might feel a little self-conscious, like you might think, oh, I think I'm talking to myself. But number one, you're not there to answer anybody else's questions anyway. You don't have to explain yourself to anyone. No one's business why you're walking down the street and, you know, whatever. And for all they know, nowadays everyone has the Bluetooth headphones or whatever. So all they know, you're on your phone. Who cares? They're not about them. It's about what you're going to do. Don't let other people stop you from whatever you're going to do. So I've learned to not pay attention to people walking around me or near me when I'm doing whatever. In all honesty, for health, for my own health and for my cardio, when I walk around, you know, usually, I'm usually singing. I don't do a lot of, I mean, I'm going to be doing my public, do a lot of my public speaking, you know, in schools and sessions. So I'm going to be getting my list soon of the schools. I'm going to be going addressing the anti-bullying stuff and stuff. And with all of the, you know, issues that schools have had as of late, and it's going to be a busy year. I already get a lot of them coming in. I'm just in the process of scheduling them right now. Because a lot of, you know, hard stuff is going on in schools right now. And I think, you know, I'm going to have to start going out there and doing that again. And that's okay. I think it needs to be done and I'll be the person to do it. It doesn't bother me. But, you know, so I'll prepare for that. But when I'm not preparing to do some type of lecture or whatever, I'll go out and I'll sing everywhere. And if people look at me funny or whatever, in all honesty, if at the bus stops, for example, I'm waiting for the bus and I'm out there singing, and if someone tells me that, you know, my song choice aren't nice or I shouldn't be singing, I was wearing a horror sweatshirt, had all the horror icons that Stephen King had given me at one of my events. So I was wearing this horror sweatshirt and, you know, I think I was singing Christmas songs. This was going into last holiday season. And one of the people walking by said, I shouldn't be singing Christmas music wearing that kind of a shirt. to which I just continued singing, Do You Know It's Christmas? by Band-Aid. So, in other words, you're not going to stop me from singing. Look, gals, what I'm wearing. Or because I'm wearing a horror sweatshirt, I can't sing a Christmas song or I can't sing another song. I have a playlist that I have that has various songs that I sing naturally anyway, or our family does. Some songs I've sung for my kids. So this mix of, you know, rock songs, country songs, pop songs, in all honesty, some, you know, some of the Disney songs that my kids and I sing together or whatever. There's a variety of songs on the playlist. So whatever comes up, I put on a mix or shuffle rather, and whatever comes up, I sing while I'm walking. It could be Let It Go from Frozen, or it could be Every Rose Has a Thorn by Poison, or it could be Tough Little Boys by Gary Allen, or anything few and far between. Or Behind Blue Eyes by The Who, or Behind Blue Eyes by Godsmack? Limp Bizkit. Yeah, Limp Bizkit, Behind Blue Eyes. So it could be either one of those. I could think of a lot of Metallica, Aerosmith, Patsy Cline, Kenny Rogers, James Taylor, all of these things is a mix on my playlist. Sometimes it's Jack and Tim, sometimes Walker Gamble, sometimes it's Radiohead. It doesn't matter. It just comes on the thing and I sing it while I'm walking. And the looks I get sometimes is kind of priceless, to which I just continue singing. No one's going to stop me from singing. I have a right to do so. If they're having a rough day or whatever and they don't appreciate it, like granted, I'm in a library right now. I'm in this doing this podcast. Door's shut. I'm not going to bother everybody else. And if I'm in the library, I'm not going to be obviously, and I'm walking around like where the books are and stuff like that. I'm obviously not going to be singing out loud like I normally would on the street, because that's the respectful thing to do, to respect people's quietness, right? Because people want to read or write and they don't want to hear someone else's songs. I get that. So out of respect for that, I won't. But if I'm out in the street or I'm like in here and I'm working on writing, now I'm in a private room right now. I come in here now sometimes to do some writing to get away from everyone else so I can listen to my music. And if I sing while I'm writing, I don't bother everybody. So that's my solution to that. And again, check your public libraries. They have more to offer than more than you think they do. But, it's really cool stuff. And actually, this has been a lot of fun to get out here and do this. I go for a walk anyway, so I get my walk in. And by the way, after I leave here, yes, I'm going to be singing on my way home, because that's what I do. And, it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Again, take your opportunities. And I'm going to be doing more of these podcasts here from the library as well, because I want to have a good rapport. And maybe I should do the Dream Masters live. Of course, now it's not the Dream Masters anymore. Now it's me alone. Not that my son wouldn't offer to come down and help out and he wouldn't step in, but maybe the icons of BFRL should go back to the libraries. Maybe I can do that here. Maybe I'll talk to them about that too. You never know. And it was something that we did for a long time, my son and I, and people enjoyed it because a few reasons. I think it's one, it's something different that a lot of people don't think about. I think some people think of video games as just, mindless, and they don't see them as anything other than whatever. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think people do definitely spend more time inside playing video games versus outside playing actual sports. Because look, I can't play golf in real life to save my life. I don't have the patience for it. But I'll play, golf on the computer all day. Basketball, I would much rather play real basketball than play the fake basketball on the game system. I can do both, but I prefer real basketball. Soccer, same thing. And wrestling, obviously, the same thing as well. But when it comes to creativity and being able to think outside the box, Dream Masters really is a sign of that. And Icons of BFRL is a testament of that. And that also brings me to a thing. So a lot of people who have been following our show for a long time, and trust me, we have viewers and people who have been watching my shows since way back when my son and I started this, pretty much at the birth of YouTube, know that we call our male superstars Dream Masters, right? So if you ever see a title that says DM and whatever, DM F Icon Champion or DM, such a thing, that's short for Dream Masters, because that's what the male superstars are called. And originally we called our women Warriors of Wrestling, WOW. But then I was thinking, we're calling ourselves the Icons of BFRL, and we have Dream Masters who are males. And since we consider our women to be Women Warriors Wrestling, I am going to announce this huge. We're changing the format. We're going to be changing it from the Women Warriors of Wrestling to the Dream Warriors of Wrestling. Get that. I know it doesn't sound like a huge thing, but it's all about embracing your goals and visions. That's what we're celebrating now. And it is about celebrating the women who are warriors out there who are doing the same things and should get the same respect as the men's. So effectively today, I'm going to be changing the titles from the Women Warriors of Wrestling to Dream Warriors of Wrestling. That'll be now our female superstars. Because I think that's special, and I think that's what should be said. So it's going to be DWR, I guess. Dream Warriors of Wrestling. DWR. DWW, I guess. Dream Masters. Oh, you'll get the point. But anyway, Dream Warriors for the women now and Dream Masters as the male. No change to the Dream Masters, who are the males on our YouTube show. But from now on, we're going to refer to our women as the Dream Warriors of wrestling versus the Women Warriors. Because apparently some other people exist of WOW, so we win again. We have a simple solution to that. But, you know, that's going to be cool. And also want to let you guys know, in October, I'm planning on doing another watch-along. For those people who are not familiar, I do a show where I, what I'll do on this podcast, it's going to be here. I'm going to have people from the show who are on our active roster call in here to this podcast. And we're going to go on YouTube collectively, and you, the audience, can do the same. Which I encourage you to, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. But as we're all going to go to YouTube together from this show, and we're going to watch these shows together as one and, you know, talk about what we're watching and talk about the matches. We've done these things before, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I can let you know that Philip Ricardo Jr., who is one of our newest superstars, he's our bodybuilder, who is a real-life bodybuilding champion. He was a guest on the show not long ago, and he is fairly new to the roster. He joined the roster in August. He joined the roster in August, and I am very excited and happy and congratulatory to him and his tag team partner and his real-life trainer, his trainee, JoJo the Bodybuilder, as this past Wednesday, the 14th, he and JoJo have become the new Dream Masters United States Tag Team Champions. So Philip Ricardo Jr. is already wearing gold. Of course, JoJo the Bodybuilder is, as we've said before, is our first Grand Slam champion of our show. He's held every single title, and now he is a United States Tag Team Champion with his trainer in real life, Philip Ricardo Jr. Of course, the tag team's name is JoJo's and Ricardo's Legends. That's the name of the tag team. So they're your new United States Tag Team Champions. I was talking to Philip Ricardo Jr., and we're going to see if we can get them to be calling in together and watch some of the shows together, some of their matches together. That'd be kind of cool, and get some other people as well. Last time we had our friend Jaden Brooks, the new United States Champion. I know. So JoJo lost the United States Championship to Jaden Brooks, who was on our last show. We did a watch along. And now JoJo, even after losing one title, he's already got another one with his trainer, Philip Ricardo Jr. And Philip Ricardo now is a champion already. So it goes to show you. And we have no control over anything that goes on our shows. And also, for those people who don't know, the Odell boys have grown by one. Odell's, since they came into our roster in December of 2020 is when they joined the roster. Of course, then it was Anthony the Submission Hunter Odell, along with Mason the Hammer and Ty the Devil Odell. I should have just did it there first in their acknowledgments. But over the course of the weekend, this past week, and also, you may not know, there's other Adeles out there in the world. And apparently, so we added Troy, the Terror Adele, and he had his in-ring debut on Wednesday, the 14th, the same day as the new Tag Team Champions. And not only did he win his first debut singles match, he also took part in our melee to crown a new Telenet champion. He did come up a little short. That's okay, because it was his second match, and he had 29 other people to worry about. And he's probably one of the youngest superstars on our roster, but he's already adapted very well, considering he already won a singles match, and he did very well for himself in the melee. And congratulations to our new Telenet champion, by the way. So you have to watch and find out who won the new Telenet championship. Yeah, it should be really cool. And again, the reason for the Telenet championship thing, our friend Jojo, the model Sebastian, he has wanted to take some time to focus on, you know, real life stuff, school and life. So we're going to respect that by giving him some space and giving him some time to just, you know, embrace being a young kid growing up in society. So, you know, we're going to put him on, you know, he's out for a little bit. And when he's ready to come back, we'll bring him back. And, of course, being a former champion, he didn't technically lose the title. It was just vacated. He'll get an opportunity to get that title back. We believe that people should follow their goals and dreams, but we also believe that you should always take some time. I've said that on the show before. Sometimes when you're in whatever it is you want to do, whether it be film, television, music, sports, it's sometimes good to take a break for a little bit to evaluate it. Do I still want to do this? Do I still like this? Or do I want to take a break? Do I want to try something else? And I encourage people to do that. When I was directing and I'm making films or whatever, I encounter a lot of people, a lot of different actors and a lot of different people who are on set, and you see all kinds of things. You see the people who want to be there. You see the people who are forced to be there. You see the people who are starting to lose their interest. You see the people who are hungry for more. And, you know, when you're doing a project like a film or a television show or something or a theater thing that I'm going to be dealing with, you have to be vigilant of those things as a producer or a filmmaker or whatever you're doing is at that level. Because if people aren't enjoying whatever there is they're doing, that's going to weigh in on your production, believe it or not. But you have to be vigilant of those things. We always hear stories, and I can tell you some firsthand experience of the stage parents. And believe me, there is those. There's the stage parent, and there's plenty of those I've dealt with. I have to say I've been fortunate enough to have a really good rapport, a lot of them. I actually have not had a lot of problems with a lot of the stage parents, so to speak. For the most part, they're just there to support their kids, and that's awesome. Of course, I've had a few here and there that, you know, my kid should do this and my kid should do that. One of the worst ones was just the dad who just dropped his kid off while we were filming, while he could go to work. That was probably the one that probably tops the one that I really think that was the most random one. See, I'm all for a parent who wants their kid to do their own thing. And I'm also, you know, all for kids who want to take more of a mature role and say, I want to do this on my own. I want to go in an audition room by myself or whatever the case may be. Sometimes their parents make them nervous. Sometimes they don't. They're few and far between. But that's one thing. But to drop your kid off at a film set and just to leave and come back later, to me, that's just like me being a parent. I would never just drop my kid off at work and just expect whatever to happen. I drop my kids off at school and I have to worry about, you know, whatever the case may be. That's just me as a parent, let alone drop them off at a film set where there's going to be other actors and whatever else on the set itself. And I personally would never do that. And we made it a rule that, you know, there should be at least one parent or guardian when you're dealing with younger audiences or younger cast and crew. You should always have someone there with them. Not because anything particularly could happen, but just because for their own safety or your own safety. You don't know what's going to happen. It's just better to have them there. Even if you have, you know, obviously, you know, hopefully you have a safe set and whatever, and hopefully nothing does happen. But I personally would rather have someone there just in case those accidents happen. What if you're filming and you're doing an action scene and the person falls and hurts themselves? You know, what if, you know, anything can happen on set? I'm not saying anything could. I'm not saying that, you know, whatever, but just be careful. You know, you don't know who else is on these sets. You don't know who these other actors are, you know, directors, producers, whatever is going to be. Granted, I'm safe and my other co-host The camera guy who, you know, my co-director, he was fine. And our sound people were fine. But, you know, the crew wasn't necessarily the issue. Or the, you know, this, our situation was a little different because they probably knew they were okay. But that's not the idea. It's the idea of just because we're a safe set doesn't mean every other set is the same. And you should never treat every set the same. And I'm honored that they felt so safe that they could leave their, you know, 13-year-old along with, you know, a film crew and a bunch of other actors and whatever. But in the same sense, that's not how that should go. But it was, you know, one of those stories you can only tell because you've been there. We've been there. So there's that. But that being said, I also believe that when you're in a scenario where sometimes the kids want to do this, and that's cool. Sometimes you kids don't want to do this. Sometimes they want to do it for the most part, and then they want to take a step back. I think it's important for parents to always be – when you have a kid who's into the film and or entertainment business, it's important to listen and to watch and to see, are my kids still enjoying this? And also to acknowledge for yourself, are we continuing to do this for them, or are we doing this because we want them to do it for whatever reason, whether it be to validate the money or whatever spent to get them to that level or to get them to where you are, or maybe you want them to fulfill whatever you wanted to do, but they haven't, you didn't, whatever the case may be, make sure you're vigilant, because at the end of the day, your first job as a parent is to be a parent. Everything else is after that. I don't care if you're a CEO of a billion-dollar company. Your first priority, if you have kids or a family, is your family first, your work after. And I know what you're going to say, well, that's easy for you to say. I said, no, I am a parent, and I had a very successful job working for one of the best wrestling companies the wrestling company in the world. But I left that to take care of my family because my family comes first, because that's what a responsible parent does. Even if I have work, my kids, my family comes first. That's how you look at everything. That's how you should address everything. Remember that, people. But if you don't have a family and you're just by yourself, you know, it is what it is. But just be vigilant. And I'm telling you this because I have been on both ends, and I have not, you know, been in this situation where I've, you know, had the addition to whatever, but just be vigilant of those things. And, you know, be, when you're a parent who has these types of things, it's important to have those conversations with your kids. Is this something you continue wanting to do? Do you want to take a break? And JoJo's family are phenomenal. I love his mom. His mom's awesome. His dad's awesome. They're a great team, and I respect them tremendously. And I consider them, you know, peers, and I consider them acquaintances, and I consider them even friends. F4L. They are F4L, his family and I. Even JoJo is F4L. Everyone's F4L who I'm part of and everyone I've had to interact with. They want to take some time, and I get that, you know, and I think that's awesome. And that, and then we, and by the way, JoJo is doing really well in his new school. I wanted to let people know that, and he's doing great work, and we're proud of him. We hope he continues doing it, and we're always going to be here to support him and everybody else because that's what we do. So there's that. It's not the end. It's just, you know, he's doing things, and that's cool. We support that. We think it's great. So, yeah. And then we got other people who are coming in. We have new people adding all the time, and I'm currently working on adding more people to the roster. I know. I'm always doing something. We have one of our newest superstars, Grayson Russell, who just joined our roster. His mom, first mother-son team we've had join the team, the show. Grayson Russell, his mother, Angie Russell. They were guests on this podcast, if you remember, not long ago, and already both are champions. Go figure. And that was, again, on their own work. Grayson had won a tournament off air to have the opportunity to challenge the BA champion. At that time was Ty the Devil Liddell. Funny story is, and I mentioned to him before that, you know, and this is a real thing. A lot of these people who are youth combat sports people, wrestlers and stuff, they actually do see people, each other at these events. So I always find it interesting whenever either on the show they end up interacting with themselves, and also what that must be like in real life as well. I know for myself, when I competed, I was very competitive, and anyone who was across the mat from me, I was going to see how I was going to win, but I had respect for them just as much because we're in the same bracket, we're still connected by the arts, but I still want to win, right? But in the same sense, it's like one of those professional rivalries kind of a thing, sports rivalries, if you would. And other people we have on our roster are the same thing, like the Menya boys, the Stritzels, the Adels. These are all powerhouse families who are all powerhouse individuals who are all in real life overtaking the MMA world by storm on the youth level. And when they're adults, they're probably going to do much of the same because they have that work ethic that most adults don't even have. Be wary of that. And be on notice to say that I told you so on that one too, when they were their headline in the next UFC card a few years from now. Grayson Russell's doing big things. Still one of the best shooters I've seen. Still shooting like crazy. I'm going to be updating his car. Apparently he was letting me know he's changed his hair, so I'm going to change that. And get that going. And Angie, they're both currently the BA champions of their division, both winning on their own. Again, I don't just award things, and I don't play the game. It's whatever the system decides. In all honesty, the rematch will be coming up for Grayson Russell. So he's going to get his first title defense. And speaking of new stars, Walker Campbell, our current Rock Icon champion, he has already successfully turned back three competitors already, including the former champion and the other former champion. So Walker Campbell is going to need a new challenger coming up in the next show, which is going to be the 24th of September. So we're going to be working on that when I get back as well. And of course, in November is our next real big tournament. We have our Team Warfare tournament coming up in November. That is our team event where we have teams of four go up against other teams of four. And it's elimination style. So whoever's left standing will go on. If they're a team, then they're going to go on to the next round. It'll start on the 4th of November. The continuation will be on the 14th, and on the 24th of November, the last show of November, we're going to have a melee with all of the survivors together, all the winners of each of those, to find out who the ultimate survivor will be, the ultimate Team Warfare winner. So that'll be really cool. So that's the next tournament coming up, and the Adels have four brothers already. So they're already filled with their spots. So that's a pretty thing. And, of course, my son's Awesome Ones are already a group, so they're already set. And all the teams are starting to come together as we speak. The Believers are going to be there. The Walkers Rockers are going to be involved. BF4L, of course. The Bullies will be there. And countless other groups. It'll be interesting to see who's going to be paired with who, as it's going to be people teaming with each other. Sometimes they haven't. Some people probably have never teamed together. Maybe they have. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they've been bitter rivals. Interesting. But it'll be a lot of fun, and that's coming up in November. So that's our next big tournament event. But, of course, we have all of October to go. So we got three shows then. I got Monster Mania coming up at the end of this month. I'm going to be taking part in that. I'm going to be working alongside my other fellow Monster Mania staff personnel. Just wanted to give a little bit of a show update. Unfortunately, Brendan Fraser, star of The Mummy and With Honors, one of my favorite movies that he did, his management has canceled his Monster Mania appearance. And unfortunately, Dave and the Monster Mania crew tried everything they could to not have that happen, but hey, it happens, unfortunately, and it's out of the hands of the promoter as much as it is the agents and the, you know, talents or whatever. And my wife made a good point. The Whale, which is his latest film, is up for a lot of Oscar and a lot of award nominees and stuff. So it could very well be that he had to pull out due to press tours or something related to that, probably. I'm not 100% certain. I can't speculate on that. But unfortunately, Brendan Fraser will not be at Monster Mania coming up this end of this month, the 30th through the 2nd of October. 30th of September into the 2nd of October. That's in Hunt Valley, Maryland, for Monster Mania, that event. But there's going to be other guests there, and they're waiting to add some more. So don't threat. Dave, the Hagen's got it covered. And there's plenty of other awesome people who are going to be there. So don't, you know, get despaired or whatever. And also, of course, you got the other show in Oak, Pennsylvania in November. It'll also be taking place. And I will also be there, as again, I work for Monster Mania. So proud to be there and proud of the team. And eventually I did talk to Dave, and he will be coming on the show again. He's just trying to find out when. So we're waiting on that. And once he comes on, it'll be great like the old times. And we'll be honored to have our friend Dave Hagen on the show. And also my friend Joe Bruin, who runs the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame and the New England Fan Fest. New England Fan Fest is going to be making its return next summer. And we're going to be bringing him on here eventually to talk about his event coming up. Famously, that's where I met my wife. And, you know, it's one of the fancy ones. And it's also where I became me, where I got in my Hall of Fame acknowledged. Thank you very much. Well, so we'll get Joe Bruin on here eventually as well. Also, you know, countless other guests I'm working on bringing in here, you guys, people you can learn from. And also some local people. Why not have, I'm going to have our ranger friend come on here. His name is Andy. Very nice guy. And, you know, several other people I plan on having. And maybe I'll have one of the librarians step in for a minute at some other show when I come here again. You know, I'll probably be here next week to do another show. Maybe I could talk to them about having one of them come on and talk for a few minutes with you guys and let you guys know, you know, from their perspective, what is it like to work at a library in today's day? From their perspective, I mean, do you know what it's like to work at a library? What do you have to do to be a librarian? Could you imagine knowing every single book in the entire place, knowing where to look? Do they use the Dewey Decimal System anymore? Do people even know what the Dewey Decimal System is? These are things we had to learn when we were younger, but I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. But we can maybe have one of them to come on here and talk to you guys about that and maybe other updates later. But also, you know, again, don't be afraid to look outside the box. And we have other people waiting to come on the show as well, and I'll keep on updating you guys. And again, we're going to be having an in-depth conversation about the debut of Jazz and Friends Expo, which will be taking place next year. Was supposed to happen in 2020, and, you know, luckily and by the graces, everything should be in place and everything will be all set to go next year. So kicking things off in May of 2023 will be our first event. And I can let you know it is a celebrity basketball game. That I can let you know. And that is to benefit the Dana-Farber Institute and the Jimmy Fund. So that should be a lot of fun. And I'll go into more detail who's involved, who you're going to get to see, and all that later. Maybe have a few of them on. You never know. And also, we got our comedy festival in the summer of 23. And our music festival in fall of 2023. Of course, the comedy festival is for the Wounded Warriors Foundation. And our music festival, of course, will take place in the fall of 2023, and of course that will be for the Born This Way Foundation, because we are always about standing us along other bully busters, and we're all about stomping out bullies in general. So we look forward to working with Lady Gaga's charity to do so, and bringing music and joy and bringing some happiness for a little while will be nice in November, it's fall of 2023. So that's what we got looking for Jazz and Friends Expo. And of course, it's featured a lot of our Jazz and Friends. And I want to take a moment again to say how blessed I am, how thankful I am that social media exists. And thankful I am for 2020 to happen that allowed me to take time to sit at home, to work from home, to get to know and meet these amazing people and whatever it is that they do. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't really know a lot of these people. I wouldn't get to know a lot of these amazing athletes, these amazing, you know, entertainers or whatever. So I'm thankful for that time to slow down and acknowledge that there's other people in the world who are just as entertaining, who deserve the spotlight. If it wasn't for 2020, this show would probably not exist. So there's that. Always a bright side to everything in life. You just got to be able to look for it. Oh, by the way, our friend from OK Thank You, Mike, has returned to YouTube, is back on his original channel on List 25. So if you guys want to see our old friend Mike from OK Thank You, we call him Mike OK. He is over on List 25. He's returned over there. So go on YouTube, check out List 25. Mike is back. He looks fantastic. Shout out to Mike, by the way. Mike looks fantastic. Keep up the good work, my friend. And he listens to a lot of podcasts. He was on this podcast, and he mentioned in his return show what he's been up to, that he has been doing all kinds of things. So here's number 26, Mike, that you are a wrestling champion on our YouTube wrestling show. You are a downloadable character in the WWE 2K22. I guess that could be combined into one. And his item number 27. You've been on this podcast and whatnot. Mike's a great guy, and big shout out to him. All a great guy from OK Thank You. And he did say that OK Thank You is worrying about coming back, and we welcome them back. And we're waiting to hear back from some other people waiting to come back for him. We're hoping that the Father Son Fist Bump podcast eventually gets back to us. We were supposed to do a show a long time ago, and unfortunately, for some reason, I don't know, timing or whatever, but that didn't happen. That makes me kind of sad, but it is what it is, and it happens. I know how life gets, but we're hoping that Gabe and Austin could come on here eventually. I hope they're doing well. There are podcasts, in all honesty, because of the work I do with my son on the YouTube wrestling show, I always like to encourage people who do stuff with their family. And that's why I really featured them, all honesty, because of the fact that it's great to see that people are willing to work with their families and their kids and whatever else and have some fun together doing something. And I thought that was awesome. That's why I still think it's awesome. So there's that. Sharp Family Singers, another people we're waiting to bring in here. Brock and Boss will try to come back in here. Countless other people. So stick around, folks. I got more people coming. Got some more musicians up and rising coming in here. And yeah, a lot of things are on the docket, folks. Just back, relax, and subscribe. Many people listen to the show, but you'd be surprised because it doesn't look like anybody follows the show. But a lot of, but just so you know, I do know where it's listened to. I know people are listening to the show, so that's very nice. But if people could subscribe on Spotify, especially since I'm all over on there all the time, or wherever you are, that'd be cool just so you can keep in contact. You know when I'm going to do a show. I do normally post this on social media, but I'm going to be doing this. I didn't post that yet today. But partly of that is because I want to encourage people to just subscribe so they know. So there's that. And what not. So. Well, everyone, this has been, you know, I got 20 minutes left of this show, but I might end this a little early, not because, you know, everyone's banging on the door trying to get in here or anything like that, but because I got a few other things I have to take care of, and I might even come back a little later on today. I have some things I've been wanting to do, and YouTube has been asking for some things, and also have to work on a couple other projects. So that being said, I'm going to end this a little early. So my apologies. But I want to say again, thank you to the Pawtucket Public Library for allowing me to come in here today and do this podcast. I look forward to doing this more. And partly one of the reasons I'm doing this early is because I want to talk to them about setting a few things up. I think they'd be really cool and whatnot. So everyone enjoy the rest of your weekends. Again, I might be coming back later on tonight, maybe another show tomorrow. You never know. But whatever you're doing, this weekend, make it epic. Take your shots, people. Don't be afraid to take your chances in life, whatever they appeal. Go check out your local library so you can find out what fun and activities they have to offer you, wherever you may be. And in the meantime, everyone, may all your dreams come true. I'm the Afro Icon saying peace, everybody.